This morning's scriptures had me wondering this week, who was worse? The brothers of Joseph who tried to kill him, realized that they could profit off him and get rid of him at the same time, so instead they faked his death and sold him into slavery? Or the man who was forgiven for what was equal to millions of dollars and then turned around and threw someone in jail for the debt of a few bucks? Then I think, well, as long as we're comparing terrible things that people have done, we might as well imagine which is worse in the horrors of history. The Holocaust or the Rwandan genocide, the Crusades or the Civil War, Ted Bundy or Jack the Ripper. Fact is, if we go down this road of comparing evil, we'll never be able to stop. There's so much evil in the world. People act horribly. Every generation, every community, every time has evil that seems unconscionable, and somehow we keep outdoing ourselves. We started with Cain killing Abel with a rock, and now we have nuclear weapons, so does it seem like we're really learning? And these scriptures, these last few weeks, have been all about community. And they've been a reminder of not the possibility of people hurting one another, but the inevitability of it and how to move forward. We're reminded that we will be hurt in big and small ways, and that we will hurt others in big and small ways. And our scriptures have been instruction on how to live in a broken world as broken people without drowning. As it turns out, we don't have to just sit here and think, everything is terrible, the world is going, you know, the world is just going to a terrible place, let's just give up. We'll just stay here, we won't talk to anyone else. Even though that's so tempting, we still hurt each other in here, right? It's everywhere. So our scriptures remind us that we can both recognize that everything is a mess and be called to transformation as people of the cross. People will disappoint us, and yet we are called to reconciliation. People will hurt us, and yet we are called to forgiveness. We will cause harm, and we are shown a way to repent. Our worst day happens, and somehow the sun rises again. Our scriptures this morning and our journey of how to be human in a broken world are full of judgmental and unrepentant people. As I said at the top of the sermon, it's how do you even compare these awful characters? They're people trying to survive without the thought of others. They're self-centered. They're small. And at the heart of all these terrible stories, we see an uncomfortable reflection of ourselves. We see with the brothers of Joseph, men who seem to have only apologized because they and their families were starving, and the brother that they left for dead and sold into slavery was the only one who could help them. Not a great apology look, right? If you need someone and you've done them wrong and you don't say sorry until they're in a position to help you, it doesn't hit the same. Meanwhile, we see folk in the Roman church squabbling over which practice they think is most important, judging one another, diminishing each other, putting each other down, believing they have the corner on what makes a real Christian, and throwing their siblings in Christ under the bus in the meantime. And then there's the cherry on top from the gospel. The person who was forgiven an impossible sum. So I did some research. I'm not a numbers person, so for those of you who are not numbers people, your brain might just numb out right now. But 10,000 talents is the equivalent of 375 tons of silver. That modern value of that much silver would be almost $300 million. He was forgiven all of that, and you know, this is a huge sum, and then he imprisoned someone who owed him 100 denarii. For perspective, 6,000 denarii equals one talent, and this guy had just been forgiven 10,000 talents. So this was a tiny percentage of what had just been forgiven, right? Just like a huge, impossible, hyperbolic number. It's a ridiculous story, a truly amazing feat of selfishness. and lack of self-awareness, and simply sin. So our scriptures this morning pose the question, in light of this broken world of ridiculous selfishness, of unbelievable harm, how do we move forward in goodness? The guy in our parable did not move forward in goodness, although forgiven that impossible sum. But in Joseph, we have another perspective. I love the story of Joseph. It is such a great story. It is so much like a telenovela. There are so many twists and turns and people coming back from the dead and fantastic costuming. It's very dramatic. It's a fun, fun read. And there's really no other way to put it that Joseph had a very difficult go of it. Out of the frying pan into the fire. But everywhere he went, he landed on his feet. He approached his life and his circumstances with this mindset of growth and optimism and heart and spirit. He did not focus on what was gone and what had gone wrong and the terrible things done to him, but instead he seemed to, wherever he went, figure out how to make it better. Joseph did the hard work of not becoming hard. He could have. He probably should have been hard with all the things that happened to him. No one would have been surprised for a second if he had ended up being kind of a monster. But he did not. He stayed soft and positive. He stayed faithful. He worked hard. He continued to believe the best in others. He heard from God. He told others about it. He accepted where he was, and he made the best of it that he possibly could. From enslavement to prison to the halls of power. So when his brothers ended up in front of him, he had already done that hard work of reconciling himself to what is. He had already found peace and meaning in his life, even though he had been wronged. He could not have responded the way that he did to those brothers unless he had done that work. He had grappled what they had done to him, and he had chosen to be the kind of person that lives in love. He even stated to his brothers, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." What a powerful way to reclaim what had happened to him and to see the ways that he was strengthened, the ways that he was actually able to do more because of those terrible things. None of what happened to him was okay. His brothers were objectively terrible. Even at the end, their little lie that they said, like, "By the way, Daddy says don't hurt us," you know, it's like, golly, these guys. But Joseph could not control his brothers. All he could do is harness his own thoughts, his own heart, his own actions. Terrible things happen. Not if, but when. It is inevitable that we will be cheated, that we will be hurt, that we will be betrayed, and more. We don't get to have control over the bad things that happen to us. But we do have the opportunity to do the work of bringing healing into the world where we can. And it starts in our own hearts. We can, like Joseph, choose to do the work, to face it, even when others aren't repentant. Remember, you know, these guys, they were not repentant. We do not have to have a resolution to work on the healing. We get to do it in our own hearts. We get to allow the Spirit to transform our minds. There is no external circumstance that will make all the evil in the world okay. I wish there was. Until God brings it all to rights, we have to muddle around in this mess and figure out how to be faithful, how to be human, how to love those in front of us. And I saw a beautiful quote this week from Saint Porphyrios, who was a Greek hospital chaplain to those suffering in World War II. So suffice to say, he saw some evil, and he saw the unbelievable effects of it. And he spoke to how most effectively address the reality of evil in the world. He said, "You don't become holy by fighting evil. Let evil be. Look toward Christ, and that will save you. What makes a person saintly is love." In other words, you, human, are not going to be able to punch your demons in the face on your own. If you focus on the evil in your life, it will consume you. But if you instead look to love, look to the grace that you've been given, if you focus on healing, if you do the inner work, if you become at peace with what is and choose to be the healing where you are, then that evil will erode. It will fall away, and everywhere you step will be love. This is excruciatingly difficult work, but God is with us, ready to exchange our heartache for miracle, one step at a time. Amen. Let's stand.